Good evening, everybody. Hi, my name is Eric. I'm one of the ministers here. I might begin by telling you a story about where I used to live 5 years ago. We used to live in a place called Rose Bay in the eastern suburbs. We lived at the bottom of Heartbreak Hill in that little narrow strip between the harbour and Bondi Beach. I'm very loud tonight, aren't I? Okay. Exotic, loud. Okay, well, someone had to live there. We lived there. On Tuesday nights, I'd go out on a run down the Bondi to Bronte track. You've walked that track before, the one with the sculptures by the sea, that one. And it's an amazing track. You sort of run through the crowds of Bondi. You head out towards the southern head of Bondi Beach. And then as you go over the headland, you leave all the noise, all the lights of the city behind. As you're jogging down that track, you see the moonlight over the ocean. You see planes flying over the horizon. You see waves crashing against the rocks. All to the sound of your breathing and the constant smacking of your feet on the ground as you're running. It's kind of beautiful. Kind of nice. Dare I say, even romantic. And it's so romantic that every single time that I went out on that run, there was always the sound of someone crying. Romantic in the sense that this is the place, not only where boys and girls go for long walks, it's the place where they also broke up. And this is what it looked like. I come around a corner and I hear the sobbing cries of a damsel in distress. And And then 10 metres down the track, there's a boy kind of looking really guilty. Sometimes I just jog past thinking, have a good night, keep going. Sometimes I stop and I'm thinking, I might give them some free relationship counselling right now. Partly because I'm dying, I need a break. Partly because I like being that knight in shining armour. So this is what I do. This is what I did. I don't do it anymore because it's too far to run now. I normally go straight up to the guy and say, mate, let's get some perspective here. You've got a beautiful girl there crying. Look out there. You've got the ocean, the moon over it. Hear the crashing waves. This is the most beautiful part of Sydney, and you're making this girl cry right here. Buddy, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take her by the hand. You're going to take her back up to the car. You're going to take her out for dinner right now and treat her like a princess. Then you're going to drop her home, and then you can break up with her. Taking notes, guys? No. You might be thinking, what on earth has this got to do with the sermon? Well, it did sound like a good idea at the time, and it has running in the issue. And the issue of perspective sort of came up. And let's keep moving. We're in the middle of a series called Run. It's a series where we discover from the Epistle of Hebrews what it means to live by faith. These last couple of weeks, we've been slowly traversing through chapter 11 of Hebrews. You might remember chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now, faith is kind of an abstract concept. And no matter how many times you read and reread 11 verse 1, it's still really academic. So to make faith real to his readers, the writer goes on to illustrate faith by using real life examples all the way through chapter 11. The examples of the greats in Israel's history. We've looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah 2 weeks ago, and Abraham last week. And one by one, he's showing us what real faith looks like. When I started uni 20 years ago, I started being a pure mathematician. I thought, hey, I'm smart enough to do this. Let's do a smart, nerdy thing. Something that kind of was interesting. All my friends were kind of characters out of the Big Bang Theory. And I quickly learnt that I was at church. I was a young Christian at the time. And I quickly realised that being smart isn't that cool. Being able to appreciate Star Trek or recite Pi to 50 places isn't going to get you a girl. So I had to make a choice, and I ended up choosing to be a hard hat wearing, flannelette wearing, strong engineer. You know, who's an engineer right here? Good, good. The problem is that the people who, I realize the problem is that the people who succeed in this country aren't the guys who read books, they're the guys who read comics. I realize that even though there are guys who understand abstract and difficult academic concepts like what faith is, the rest of the population didn't. And so I kind of understood what is going on in here in chapter 11. What he's doing is he's trying to flesh out for normal people what it looks like, what faith looks like. It's practical, it's visual, it's hands-on. And throughout this chapter, he's taking the abstract academic idea of faith and making it real by showing us hero after hero after hero, showing us champion after champion of the faith as they go around that grandstand of the great heroes of the faith. So tonight we come to Moses. What does it look like to have faith in our lives? Well, we've got to remember that the Bible, every word in the Bible is there for a reason. So tonight we're going to ponder on what does it mean for Moses' faithful life? What does it mean for us? And right now Phil is going to read out the Bible reading for tonight.
Thanks very much. Page 191 to 193. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, who had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead for his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And then chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Thanks, Phil. It'd be good if you had your Bibles open. We're going to be going through those verses tonight. And the writer wants us to learn from Moses' life that faith is about fearing God and always trusting God's word. And this faith only comes by having the right perspective. There's a question on, there's a mobile phone number on the screen if you want to have any questions throughout this sermon. SMS that. Let's look at verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. Here we see faith here from Moses' parents. They trusted God beyond all measure, especially when Pharaoh, the king of the time, issued an edict to kill all the baby boys and later to kill all the boys of the Hebrew slaves. But Moses' parents, they trusted God and they hid Moses for 3 months. When they couldn't hide him any longer, they did what was unbelievably trustworthy. They trusted God and put Moses in a basket, let him float down the Nile River, abandoning him. Sure, they must have wet themselves in fear when they heard soldiers in the street. Sure, they must have cried as they waded into the Nile River for the express purpose of abandoning their little baby. But even though they could have given in to their fear, they chose to trust God. Verse 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. We see here faith from Moses. He was the prince of all of Egypt. Every day he would be fawned over as a god, chauffeured around everywhere in his luxury chariot sipping Chardonnay. In the ancient world, he had access to limitless wealth and limitless power. Imagine for a moment throwing all of that away and choosing to be treated as a slave. Moses did this because he trusted God more and he cared for God's people more than he cared about the pleasures he could have had at the time. Now that is faith. Look at verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Again, we see Moses' faith. By following God's instructions, he finds himself standing before the most powerful man in the ancient world. And he didn't go up to Pharaoh asking or trying to flatter him. He went up to Pharaoh to make him angry. He went up to ask Pharaoh for the one thing he knew the king would never give him. And that was, he asked for the one thing he knew the whole Egyptian society was relying upon. He asked for the freedom of the Hebrew slaves. That's faith. Moses did what God told him to do, even if it meant putting his life in imminent danger. Look at verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. This is what faith looks like. Moses got the Israelites to do as God told them, and that would have been kind of strange. Let me explain how strange a Passover actually was. God, through Moses, had already sent 9 plagues that scared, frustrated, angered, and hardened the Egyptians. Then God told Moses that he was sending the angel of death to convince Pharaoh to free the slaves. But for Moses' people to be spared, they had to find a perfect lamb, slaughter it, paint its blood on the door jambs and lintel of the doors, and then participate in an elaborate ritual of roasting and eating that perfect lamb. You've got to remember the Israelites were poor slaves, so finding a perfect lamb is kind of hard. You've got to remember that it's kind of a really bizarre ritual. You've got to remember the most powerful man in the ancient world had already shown no sign of relenting. But Moses was faithful and believed God at his word. And he told Israel to trust God as well, regardless of what seemed like a helpless, hopeless, useless circumstance. So that is what faith looks like. And verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Again, this is what faith looks like. After Pharaoh tells Israel to leave Egypt, they headed down towards the Red Sea. But as they reached it, they realized that the whole nation was trapped. Mums, dads, babies, kids, grandmas, grandpas, livestock, everything they owned. They had nowhere to go. In front of them, there was deep water. Behind them was a whole of Pharaoh's military with his chariots and horses and soldiers and army, and they were bearing down on the people of Israel like a sledgehammer squashing an ant. But this is what faith looks like. Moses did as God told him. Moses stood there and stretched out his hand over the sea. He did that, and God divided the water, exposing dry land for the Israelites to walk through. The people trusted God. They trusted God enough to walk through on dry land between walls of water that were held up by God's power. And these walls of water would soon violently destroy the Pharaoh's entire military. Now, all these things in verses 23 to 29 give us a picture of the kind of faith that Moses had. And instance after instance, we're seeing that faith is about fearing God and always trusting God's word. Now, we've got to ask ourselves a question. What does faith look like in our lives tonight here in the hills? Faithfulness means following God's leading, even if it means foregoing comfort, time, money, career. In 1999, Viv and I got married. I was 24 years old. I was on a good salary. She was on a good salary. But because of our faith in God, we left our home church of Mossman. We left the home we lived on, which was on Balmoral Slopes, just above Balmoral Beach. We left all our friends whom we'd grown up with. And by doing this, we committed financial suicide. I left a six-figure salary. Viv left a pretty good salary as well. This is 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Seemed like a lot then. I took up a job, a ministry job that paid 52 cents an hour. Do you know why we did it? Because we took seriously Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations. What kind of faith do you think we needed to do this? The kind of faith that requires me to wrestle every fiber of my being to the ground to convince myself that God is worth trusting. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. And my example of faith is nothing compared to what Moses showed. My example of faith is nothing compared to some of the guys I know you guys in the church here, what you've shown in your life. This is the kind of faith that this chapter 11 and these verses is calling us to do. What kind of faith will lead? What kind of faith do you have? And what will your faith lead you to do for Jesus? I wonder what faith looks like right here tonight in the hills. Will you be faithful in obeying what God says in His Word, the Bible, even if it flies in the face of all public opinion? Even if it makes you look silly in front of your non-Christian friends and family or your non-Christian workmates? What are your thoughts on sex before marriage? I'm sure you know what the Bible says. But I know it's really hard to talk about in public. It's really hard to stand up for Jesus and to stand up for what we know is the Bible's truth. And that's just one little area of our different lives that we have as Christians from the rest of the world. When it comes to standing up for Jesus, what will your faith lead you to do for Him? What does your faith look like tonight, right here in the hills? Is it faithfulness in telling people the gospel despite fear of what they think of you? Is it being willing to forgo your relational needs and your comfort, even in this building, as you seek to welcome new people who come amongst our midst? Is it dedicating yourself to seriously grow in your knowledge of Scripture? I can keep going about all the different things because the possibilities are limitless. But when Hebrews speaks about Moses' faith, it's particularly highlighting that faith is about fearing God and always trusting God's word. So what will your faith lead you to do for Jesus? Now, the writer of Hebrews not only illustrates what faith looks like from Moses here, he also motivates us with three reasons why we should keep fearing God and we should keep trusting God in His word. And these all have to do with having the right perspective. So the first reason here is this: that God's purposes and salvation are achieved through faith. There's no doubt that Moses was a special, faithful person. There's no doubt that Moses was a towering figure in the Holy Old Testament. He's the focal point of God's mighty act of salvation from Egypt. He's a leader of Israel in its time of crisis. And he's the key in the transformation of Israel from being a ragtag bunch of nomads into being a civilization. Now, Moses is special, and God chose to achieve his salvation through his faith. But the writer of Hebrews is here saying to us that he wants us to realize that faith is the key, not the person. Faith is the key. God's salvation is achieved through people's faithful action. God saved baby Moses through the faithful action of his parents. God delivered his people from Pharaoh's oppression through Moses' faithful action. Again, it's through Moses and Israel's faithful obedience that their firstborns lived. And it's through their same faith that God saved Israel by getting them to walk through that Red Sea on dry land. Now, God had a special plan for Moses at the time of Exodus. And because Moses trusted God, he was God's instrument of salvation. Now, we're not Moses, but God has a special purpose and plan for every one of you in this room. Each of you are God's gift to the church, and God simply asks each of us to trust him, to have faith in him, to have the same kind of faith that Moses had, regardless of the situation. And if you have that same kind of faith in God that we're talking about tonight, who knows what God might achieve through you and through your faith, not only now, but for generations to come and for all of eternity. To me, this is kind of comforting. It's not about me or my achievements. I don't have to perform for people. As far as God's concerned, it's whether or not I'm faithful to him. Moses' example stirs us to trust God because God works through our faith. That is having the right perspective. The second motivator is this, that only God is worthy of fear. Remember the context of all of Hebrews? What's happening is that the Emperor Nero is about to send a second wave of persecution on the church. And all these Christians are kind of fearful, running away, not sure who they should trust. So the writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 11, verse 27, in this context, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. It reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In his whole dealings with Pharaoh, Moses demonstrated his fear of God rather than men. People can be powerful. People can hurt us psychologically, emotionally, physically. But all these things can't be compared to facing God's judgment. In chapter 10, verse 31 of Hebrews, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Fearing God has to do with having the right perspective of who God is. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, God is a consuming fire. True, he's loving and merciful, compassionate and kind, but God's still God. He's the most powerful being in the whole universe who will not tolerate evil. Anything that's impure cannot come near God. Instead, it's consumed immediately. God has spoken to us through his Son, and he sent his Son to us. The question is, are we going to believe him? Are we going to trust him? Are we going to fear him? Or are we going to trust and fear other things or other people who can do nothing and who are nothing and can do nothing in comparison? Moses encourages us to fear God only. That is the right perspective. The third reason, the third motivator is this, that we should trust God because the here and now is only short-lived compared to what's in store for eternity. Look again at verses 24 to 26 of our passage. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as far greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. When you look again at chapter 11, verse 1, in the end, faith is all about hope. Our hope is secure because Jesus has already taken care of everything. He's our high priest. He's the one who has risen from death. He's the one who's seated in heaven. He's the one who's waiting to take us back to be with him. What we have here and what we face here and what can happen to us here is only short-lived. Take an eternal perspective. Think 10 billion years time. In 10 billion years, who cares if you had a harbour view? In 10 billion years, who cares if you had a million Facebook friends? In 10 billion years, who cares if you wore the best clothes or drove the best car? Get the right perspective. Heaven is made of stuff that is imperishable, of limitless worth, and especially because God is there with his people and his son. Even suffering in this life for Christ, as awful as it is more valuable than all the riches of the whole world. Moses realized this, so he was faithful in living out what God asked him to do. What about you? What's your perspective? So Moses' life, faith is about fearing God and always trusting God's word. And this comes from having the right perspective. The perspective is this: God achieves his purposes through your faith. God alone is worth fearing. And anything that happens in this world is short-lived compared to what we get in heaven.